Hello, everyone. Welcome again to Heart. The Lord our God is mightily and truly moving by the Holy Spirit. When people yield to the Lord, they become aware of the mighty works of God and what He's doing and how He's doing, because He reveals His heart to those who love and trust Him. Remember, God is looking for people of faith. The eyes of the Lord run to and fro, looking for those who will obey Him and have faith in Him, people He can bless. And He finds people that He can use and bless. And He always uses us according to our dedication. And it's important to be dedicated so that God can move freely. God has to work with what we give Him. He always did and He always will. He works with what men give Him. If they give Him their heart, then God will use them according to what they have to offer Him, to what they yield to Him. When we love God, we yield our members, our arms, our legs, our mind, our eyes, and we take time to do His works according to His guidance. And when this is in place, you give it something, give God something that He can use. And we have potentials, we have abilities, and He uses us according to the strength we offer Him, with the things that He know we can complete and accomplish. And if we have the, sometimes we have the ability to do things, but we're likely to get in pride. If God do a magnificent work, if it's magnificent in our eyes, you know, it goes back to what Paul said about preachers. He said, not a novice lest they get in pride. Only those who will follow God, it's raining, only those who love and follow God, and they have, they operate according to His word, and they're elders, they have grown in the Lord. An elder is anybody that has taken time to spend time with the Lord, they grew in the Lord, and they can operate by faith without getting in pride. And then there's doubt. People that can master doubts. If God gives you something to do it, to tell you to do it, then you're at a point where you can accomplish it without doubt, without unbelief, without pride, and without fear. Now those things may nag you, but you can do it. You have the potential to go forward and overcome those things. Sometimes people have the knowledge, even the wisdom, but not the character. So once they get the character, then God can deploy them. It's not wise to deploy somebody that won't master everything. You can't fight Satan with satanic goals. In other words, if you love pride and attention, then you can't be selected to do God's business. When you study Isaiah chapter 6, you see it clearly. The Lord had to blind the whole nation of Israel. Well, almost all of them, because he would use a remnant. In every tribe, in every nation, He always had a remnant, except for the Amalekites. There was no remnant that He could use in that country. All of them had to be destroyed. And then there were other nations that was considerably just like them. But in otherwise, see, they were tainted with hybrids. And that the whole tribe had to be destroyed. They were, the whole thing, the whole kingdom had to be annihilated. But others had potential. The Ninevites had potential. They repented. God knew that they would repent. If Jonah came and preached. And he made it his business to get Jonah there. Jonah was not in doubt against God restoring the Ninevites. He didn't even doubt against the Ninevites. He knew that if they repented, God would forgive them. He wasn't in fear about it. He wasn't afraid to do it. He just didn't want to. He wanted those people to be destroyed. He was eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth. And the Lord had great mercy on Jonah. And from time to time, people can feel just like Jonah, even though they were washed in the blood, and that's illegal. We can't afford to take things personal. If we decide to grow, and growing is a decision that you make personally, nobody can make it for you. So when things line up, when you get rid of Cain jealousies and competition, then you can stop doubting against people and desiring to be better than others. Those things limit God's potential on a person, on our lives. See, if we have satanic goals, then God can't do the greater works. And he will not. Fisher Pickett wrote it in their book. The Lord told me that personally just before I read the book. We studied it in Sunday school, the Fresh Start Breakfast Club. And I saw that part where she had that vision or dream, and the Lord revealed to her that he will not use people. He said it three times. He will not do a revival with people that do these evil things. He builds on a solid foundation. And sometimes people line up and he can use them. And he loves us. He cares about us all. We were all selected for grace. And when we walk in and share it, we receive the love of God, we receive the grace of God. We didn't do anything to earn it. And even the grace of our ministry, we didn't earn it. We received life. And we walked in it. We didn't earn it. But when you reject the darkness, you become a candidate to do greater things, because he can trust you to handle holy things. It doesn't get any simpler than that. You've received the grace, you've walked in it, and now you're able to help others do the same thing. Everything that we do is very important. We can do this. We can do all things through Christ, who strengthens us. We can be in agreement with him. We can go forward. And so can everybody else. When you doubt against a person, you're excluding them from the grace of God. And whatever wisdom that's inside of them, you're putting a limit on it. When you have unbelief, even though they have potential, you're rejecting their growth, you're rejecting their potential in Christ, you're rejecting what God is doing, you're rejecting their success, along with the grace of God in their life. Unbelief is always rejection. When Stephen preached the gospel the day that they stoned him, those who were stoning him, the stoners and the angry mob, what he said pricked their hearts. They couldn't say anything against it. He exposed the fact that Jesus is Lord. And he made it clear But instead of embracing the gospel, they put their hands over their ears so they couldn't hear him. And then they stoned him. That, my friend, is unbelief. Unbelief is always rejection. They didn't want to know the truth, and they rejected it and murdered the man that was trying to help him. His speech is where, his message is where we get Apostle Paul. The message of Stephen's is the pricks that he was kicking against. And he did it, you know, God gave him grace because he did it ignorantly. He was in deception. And the message was helping him come out of rebellion. But he was still deceived enough to put God's people in prison and have them killed. And the Lord knocked him down. And he made a statement that answered his own question. He said, "Who are you, Lord?" And the Lord revealed, "I'm Jesus. It's hard for you to kick against the pricks." From the moment he said, "Who are you, Lord?" When he called Jesus Lord, his spiritual eyes was open to the truth. And his natural eyes was blinded. The Lord knows what to do to get us out of deep deception. And if you ever get out and see the truth for what it is, and the ditch that you're about to fall into, you start fearing God and appreciating His vast love towards you. And you want to share that love with others. I've never been more misunderstood than the burning love, the fiery love of God towards me. I wanted to share it with others. And people respond to the word of God, the love of God, the kindness of God, the goodness of God, the wisdom of God, and the knowledge of God all kind of ways. It just depends on the condition of their heart. Some people know it's right, but they have enough love of the world to reject it altogether. And they don't want to be, they stop coming around. Some people are like the stony ground. They rejoice, but they don't let the word get inside. They don't let the word grow roots. And when they get to a point that they love the world and they give up, then they quit coming around. In other words, the Atrophies didn't want John around because John was full of the Holy Ghost and fire and love of God. He loved preeminence, so he didn't like the apostles coming around this church. He wanted to be preeminent. Sometimes people are too concerned. That's like the seeds among thorns. You have a love and devotion for the word, but you also worry about the cares of this life and how you appear. You can't win with satanic goals. Satan wanted preeminence. So Diotrephes, he limited himself. He excluded himself from being in a position to receive more life. Because he loved preeminence more than growing in the Lord. You know, John chapter 3. When people love preeminence, they have a satanic goal. When people decide they don't want to work the work of the ministry, they love their life more. They put it first. They won't do anything to grow. They just want to be saved and flow through this life. Well, if you don't grow, the enemy will use your lack of knowledge against you as a weapon. And the cares of this life will choke the word. You become unfruitful. But when you run to the will of the Lord, you're going to be fit for doing His business. You're going to be challenged, of course. You're going to get in a deeper fight with the enemy, but it's winnable. Satan can't handle you hear me good. He can't handle you if you fully commit to God. If your eyes are full of light, your whole if your eyes are single, your whole body will be full of light. And Satan is afraid of that. So he tempts the church. He tempts the church to give in to convenience and not be what he fears. I see people all the time, they make a choice to stay where they are and not grow up. This is not how they are. That's not who they were designed to be. That's their choice. It's always a choice. Every time, 100% of the time. They're looking at limitations, how other people think, what they feel, and they put it before. So my message it aggravates them. When I say follow God, they don't want to fully commit. But they want to be part of the move of God, but they don't want to excel to the point that they follow through and be committed to something. So people respond to the things of God all kind of ways for those four reasons. And then there are those that have a good and honest heart. They receive the word and they bring forth fruit with patience in their season. They receive training. Now I'm going to tell you something about the training of God. It's glorious. And the move of God is glorious. It's fun. On the inside, I'm turning flips. I'm having a good time. The devil said, if you get saved, you're going to be bored. I haven't been bored since that moment. I can honestly say before the Holy Spirit that I have never been bored since the last Friday of 1983 in May. The moment I got saved, I have never been bored again. And I never will be bored. When I'm somewhere and I don't have a magazine, nothing to read, nothing, no TV, I pray and I just talk to the Lord. I consider His goodness. I'm not bored. There's always something churning on the inside. Even when I go through trouble, I don't see giants. I look at how I can kill it. All of my obstacles, the ones I mastered and the ones I'm going to master, I look at it how I'm going to defeat it. Every time the enemy presents himself with an obstacle, I consider it first. My first response is, how will I kill it? And the first method of killing it is submitting to God, having God's goals. And I love Charles Capps. I learned how to confess. See, you can shape your will the way you want it. If you feel a certain way that's not of God, if you feel reluctant, in the Sunday school class, I said, if you ever feel reluctant, ask yourself why. See, this will help you kill the obstacles that hinder you. If you win in your heart, it's easy to win outside. If you master the battle within, the battle without is a cakewalk. It's like eating pie. telling the devil what he can't do in the earth is easy. If you master the war on the inside. And the way you do that is fill your heart with the word of God. That's where your faith comes from. And submit your whole life to Him. I don't want the unfruitful works of darkness to be active in any part of my being. Now Jesus did something and my heart is new. I can renew my mind with the word of God so I can be in agreement with God. And I can speak the word of God and master, I can make my body do what it needs to do. And your body, Jesus didn't say, the spirit is willing and the flesh will always be weak. He said the flesh is weak compared to the spirit. But he didn't say it had to stay that way. And all the desires of the that would come of the flesh, I use my faith to say with my mouth that I hate every evil influence. I listened to Steve Quayle sometime. He said that lust, give me good, he said lust is the demonic appetite on people. It's when people have the demonic appetites, the same appetites that demons have, that's what you call lust. Greed, preeminence. Your body don't have to, the way people present the flesh, they say, well, the flesh is weak, the flesh is evil. If you don't have the flesh, you can't operate in the earth. A lot of people wish Jesus would come so they have relief from the flesh. And that's unnecessary. The things of the world can become repulsive to you. All of it. Everything of the world can become repulsive. It's not the design of God, but it's the way that the enemy has shaped society to see how they see it. Love is real. Lust is not. We receive love from God and we can share it with others. If a man loves his wife, hear me good, if he loves his wife, he protects her, he blesses her, he seeks to be a blessing, and he doesn't require anything of her because he's complete in Christ. But lust feeds off others. Lust takes everything from a person to gratify itself. It's a dead end. It can't satisfy. It only consumes. Love don't consume. Love builds up, love cherishes, love develops. It's dunamis power, love is. But lust is not that way. So I started saying I hate the things of the world and I love the things of God. I would do all that's in God's heart. And the more I do that, the more real it becomes. There are those people who they share the love of God and they want more love, they want more light, and they're not intimidated when other people are following God. They don't mind being there for other people. They don't mind the work of the ministry. And they long to do the things of God. They don't know that they can. But this message gives them hope. It's kind of like the fire by day and the cloud by night. I mean the cloud by day and the fire by night. When you submit your whole life to God, your eyes single, then all the things of God, the things that the Holy Spirit is trying to present to you, you see it. And then you see the world, you see the Egyptians over there. You see the world for what it is, lost, confused, and angry. But you're looking at it from a God's eye view. And then eventually on the inside, you're turning flips. You're just having a good time in the Lord because you see how to kill your enemy. And your enemy can't kill you. But then those who follow the wisdom of this world, the nasty wisdom of this world, they're excluded from the things of God, and they only look to see how they can exploit. Now, I'm out of time, but the Lord is not. Till next time, remember, I love you. God truly loves you, and Jesus Christ is our Lord. Those in the world, all they have is fear, unbelief, doubt, and confusion. They can't see what you see.